Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Oh, yeah, buddy.
All right.
Fucking getting out there, getting sun-kissed.
I do get sun-kissed. My shoulders are all burnt up. I mean, the sun, it's never had more human skin to burn.
I love to see how free you've become. You are like, it's like, you know when they find those feral children that are kept inside of apartments for months? I mean, this is what I was researching for last week's episode of the Relax Fit episode of last podcast.
Right.
But they release these children from, you know, being chained up, being told that they've got dirty parts by being told that the moon's going to explode if they don't wash their hand 10 times in a day.
That could happen.
And then they go outside and they dance. They dance and frolic, and they're just so just enamored with the sun, enamored with the grass. Don't you wish? And now I see the simplicity of that joy in you now.
Of course. And yes, they do get yelled at for not wearing a mask. Sure, they will get scolded still by others. But you know what? That doesn't matter, because the freedom itself is worth, yes, having to make small changes, having to alter your life ever so slightly, because at least I'm no longer chained to a chair in a Brooklyn apartment. I've never felt more free.
But they don't understand that for years in that apartment, you actually had a football helmet with saran wrap wrapped around it on you to keep your impure thoughts from escaping your brain and getting into your parent/captor's brain. So you actually have a lot of experience with the mask up to this point.
I completely agree.
I understand, though, the cognitive dissonance of I'm free now. I'm asked to be wary. I'm asked to wear a mask. You're yelling at me for not wearing a mask. I actually wore a mask when I was deep in captivity. But at the same time, it's a lighter mask.
Yes, it is. And you know what I do now? You put a little bit of ketchup on the inside of your mask. The whole day, you're feeling like you're eating a small hot dog. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, California Kissel. California Ben, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski.
No, we're still not fucking hanging out. We're still in quarantine.
We're separated
from each other.
This is as close as we get. According to the commercials, we're together, alone together, which doesn't make any sense. You cannot be alone and together. Everyone's just alone. But that's okay.
In that way, they are lying to you. We are not alone together with the executives of Toyota. We are not alone with them, because if we were them, but we would be on their massive, huge palatial estates that have so much room to run around. New experiences. We could go to the horse barn.
Sure.
You could go to the people barn. You could go to the sloth barn. They have all three.
They have everything they want. Of course, I just moved to California, took the drive around across country. We talked about that on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat and on last podcast on the left, last week's Relaxed Fit. So we won't go into great detail on the joys of that. But I will say, when you have two little dogs, you move into a new house, all they see is multiple toilets. Every place that they have never smelled before immediately becomes an outhouse. So it's just me for the first 48 hours with now a squirt gun, because I have the ability to have a squirt gun. So I have a squirt gun and I'm just like, no. And it seems to be working. So
hey, as long as it wasn't Dave Kohler doing it.
Dave? Because I imagine his pisses and his shits would be far more significant than LJ's. Because at least LJ's are small, but I've seen puffins. Puffins are big.
Puffins are big. Of course, Dave Kaler, my man, he's done great graphic design work. If you are in the need for graphic design, check out Dave Kaler. He'll do anything.
He'll edit you out. To speak right now, let's say you just happen to be in the background of a picture that Ghislaine Maxwell's
sure.
in or Jeffrey Epstein's in.
Yeah.
He'll erase it for a second because you didn't know. You were just trying to get free hors d'oeuvres. How many times I wander into a quote unquote art party in New York City
God.
Early on, and I just wanted the free wine.
I mean, you remember, Henry, of course, Ghislaine Maxwell, she has just been arrested. We're going to get into great detail on that. She's not doing great in prison.
What?
When Henry and I had, we were invited by WME. Now, that's one of the biggest talent agencies in all of North America.
Dude, we're so lucky.
They represent
lucky
Dave Coulier
part of them.
All the way to Tom Selleck.
They do not.
They
Dave
don't.
Coulier could not. I don't think he has reps. I think he's with a guy named, like, John.
John
who's
Stamos,
just a guy.
But
John Stamos, he's with WME. John Stamos is different. Dave Coulier, the biggest thing he ever did was eat Alanis Morris's fucking pussy. Oh, no, sucked his dick in the theater.
According to that song, and I always say this, yes, it's fine if you can get blown in a theater. Okay, thank you. But if you are truly in love, you do what Henry just said. You eat that pussy in a theater because
eat
then you don't just get to pop
theater.
Back up. You don't get to pop back
nope.
up and see the scene where it's like, oh, what's going on? No, now you have to slowly rise because now you're a 38-year-old man desperately trying to pleasure a 29-year-old.
Wipe. You got to, because sometimes you're down there for a significant chunk of time.
Absolutely. So when Henry and I were watching the Lakers game, we're in the skybox. They allowed us in. It was Beefy Tuesdays. We don't know who we're hanging out with in there, Henry.
No clue who was in that box.
We were asking, can we have these hot dogs? And they were laughing at us because they don't eat the hot dogs because they're just there for show for them.
Yeah. And they thought that they were like, well, you could go buy real food. And I was like, this real food right here. And it's real free. they loved us.
They loved us.
It was fun. It was good for them to see people from the other side of the tracks.
But we don't
every
know.
Every once in a while.
We don't know how many pedophiles were in that booth with us. We just don't know. We were there for the free dogs. We were there to watch LeBron, one of the greatest players of all time. Certainly the greatest player playing right now.
He's the Baryshnikov of basketball.
So
I'm going to go that far.
If you do imagine someone in the background of these Ghislaine Maxwell photos that just has a plate of hors d'oeuvres that's just like looking like a cow that's just about to get hit by a car.
Oh, no.
Oh,
but that's why I don't take pictures with anybody with more money than me.
Perfect.
That's my new goal. I don't take pictures. If you got more money than me, people are just going to take my word for it that we were hanging out.
I completely agree. So Ghislaine Maxwell, whatever
this
the hell you want to call.
This is how full of shit this woman is that you can't even pronounce her name.
No.
Her name is like, because I saw five different sources on it, because 60 Minutes Australia did a new piece on her, and every other person, every one of her victims, every one of these people, they all just say this Ghislaine. I just hope she changes her name to Corpse.
Yep, not gonna be free anytime soon. Maxwell is definitely a name that she could be going with right now, although a bit longer than Ghislaine. She was arrested roughly a year after Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. Henry Zebrowski.
Coincidence.
I must take my cap off to you. I don't know why it was hot. It was a swimming cap. Swimming cap off to you, because you were correct. Last week we talked about how Ghislaine Maxwell was possibly in France, and she was moving every month, and you were like, dude, that was probably planted by her, and I guarantee you she's in America. Sure enough, she was hanging out in the live free or die state. Turns out she might die, New Hampshire, this entire time in a $1 million home that she bought secretly. Because apparently realtors just like don't ask if you don't want to tell them who's
honestly,
buying the
they
house.
Do not. They don't care.
They really don't care.
But they should. But it is interesting to say, I wonder what the hell really happened here, right? She had been observed for a while. She seemed to be, there's a couple of accounts of her bouncing back and forth. There's one Twitter account that I was following that was using data to crunch, to figure out where the hell she was hiding. It was this, it's a guy named Hank Von S. I don't know what the hell else he does at Hank Von S. Basically found out that she had maybe, seems like she had been going from various places, from somewhere to Pennsylvania, down to San Antonio. Don't know why. Don't know what's there.
Right.
It goes, comes to New Hampshire in a place lovingly, I believe called Tucked Away. Was the name of the home.
Yes.
It was called Tucked Away. The, there are several people now admitting that the now famous or infamous In-N-Out photo of her sitting with an In-N-Out bag, like in front of an In-N-Out with a, that book saying like, I work for the CIA, essentially, that that was staged, obviously. Jillian Maxwell apparently is surprised that she'd even be picked up. And they said, according to her arraignment, she was yelling, saying, why am I here? What has happened to me? But it does seem to be interesting that if you felt that you were innocent of a crime that you hid for a really long time.
Right. Yes, of course, some of the words, why is this happening? All of these sorts of things that I would assume a person of immense privilege who most likely sex trafficked a series of children would be asking when they were arrested. And you can't imagine in her mind, she was hanging out with the creme de la creme, the most powerful people in the world. So now we're starting to see who was really associated with Ghislaine Maxwell, with Jeffrey Epstein, and who should be most scared. This is what I like the most about this story. This is the beginning. This is still the tip of the iceberg. We're a little bit down the iceberg, but my God, a lot of this is still underwater, getting ready to be drained and exposed for all of us to see. She is going to spill the beans harder than that stupid bush baked bean dog, because you know she's not, you know, Henry, she is like, what do you guys want to know? When do you want to know it? How do I get out of here?
I'm kind of torn, because in my mind, I figured that Epstein was going to commit suicide or either be allowed to commit suicide or be suicided because of the way he, the more you read into his character, the way he viewed himself as a man of mystery. He loved the secret keeping industry that he was in. He may or may not have been some form of asset for intelligence. Apparently this is because the sex blackmail shit has been going on since J. Edgar Hoover wore panties to the White House.
Whoa!
But he should be allowed to. I'd love to see his weird little cock jammed up to a bunch of panties, because that's his freedom.
But that's the that's the disgusting duality of all of these leaders, where it's like, gays should not be married. Meanwhile, he's like, oh, let me scratch my gunt. My balls are digging into my panties again.
So Epstein was one side of it. Epstein, my side, is a type of person that I could see. He can't handle his bubble being popped. He can't go from that fucking whatever sixth floor apartment in New York to jail, his private island to jail. There's no fucking way, because you listen to Epstein talk about his island and it sounds like the way I talked about when I first got it, like a good pair of underwear, like a good pair of me undies, where he literally was just like, what's nice about my island is that I can finally be me. I can finally just express myself and think about myself in a way that other people look at me with a sense of power, with a sense of comfort, with a sense of ease. Just being like, I literally just need a good coffee machine.
Sure, absolutely.
For the most part.
So some of the people that are absolutely horrified that Ghislaine won't be as tough as Jeffrey Epstein, in the sense that taking your own life in this way is a very violent, let's just assume that he did for the sake of this conversation right now, and we can move on from that too, because he may not have, who knows, but that is a violent act. That is an act of purpose. That is something that you do. This is not it's not a passive act to take your own life.
There, I was reading a book called The Noonday Demon that talked about suicide as the ultimate homicidal act, because when you commit suicide, you kill the world. Right?
Exactly.
Because if your mind doesn't exist, then the universe does not exist anymore to you. So it's like you killed the entire universe. Jeffrey Epstein lived with his own universe. The thing is, can Ghislaine, I'm going to start calling her fucking Ghislaine.
Sure.
Can Ghislaine handle jail? Can she handle the scrutiny? Or is she, because she always was the fancy arm of Epstein.
Yes, she was.
Epstein was the money and the cryptic science and the actual, like, he needed the hand jobs, I guess, in order to function. What they said towards the end of his whatever his career was, whatever the fuck it is he actually did for money, was that he was spending most of his day just getting hand jobs from 14-year-olds. But Ghislaine, she also made lick-lick, too.
Oh, of course.
She was making lick-lick, and she was playing radio dials on a couple of people as well. Like, don't ever forget that. But now she has got two accounts of possible abuse and then two accounts of perjury, which was that she just straight up said, like, Jeffrey Epstein's not a pedophile.
That's a lie!
To a lawyer, and it was a lie!
So Prince Andrew, he has got to be shaking in his knickers right now. I think he is extremely scared. I think the boot buckle that he wears is like...
The boot buckle, that bonnet he has, his lawyer... I think you reach a certain level of status in UK and they just give you one of those lawyer wigs.
Yes, it is. It is waving like the ocean on a windy day. He is scared and he should be because, of course, his name is being brought up almost more than everybody else's. But what are some other famous names here that should be concerned? Ghislaine Maxwell has videotapes of them committing these acts because these acts were done, as Henry said, with J. Edgar Hoover. This was all filmed. Or, you know, a painting in the house that had two cameras for eyes.
This shit's been going on since Prohibition.
Yes.
Like, this is literally the way they have been controlling people, various levels of the government, and various levels of intelligence agencies, depending. This is how they control people. Is it so? They say, apparently, the house that Wexler, the dude that he was working for, that Leslie Wexler, said he, when he gave him that New York house, it was already wired for sound.
Yep.
It was already wired for sound. Cameras. There was a fake bathroom that you went in that was just a bunch of fucking drives that I don't know if they pulled or not, but he definitely has receipts on whatever the fuck that went on there. And then I imagine that Ghislaine, yep, it's not too far from those receipts.
Yeah, Ghislaine, apparently she has all of the videotapes now. They were missing. She had total control over them. She had access to all of them. She had a lot of freaking power hidden behind a pretty face, which is a smart way to do it. It's classic, it's cinematic, and that's kind of the world these multi-billionaires lived in. They lived in a world of fantasy until it all came crashing down. So Ghislaine has all of this evidence that will definitely prove a bunch of powerful people had sex with underage girls. So there's also, so Prince Andrew, there's also former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, obviously Bill Clinton, who you can see in every picture is visibly hammered, smiling.
He's loving it.
Loving his life.
Full blushed out, full of popcorn chicken, all horned up. He's got an extra cigar. You know what he uses it for.
Former Harvard President Larry Summers is involved. Former Harvard professor, lawyer Alan Dershowitz is involved. Henry, by the way, Alan Dershowitz is my favorite in all of this because as soon as Maxwell was arrested, he had this thing ready to go. Like the defense of Maxwell, he had that like ready on his computer. He's just like, send. About?
There we go. Locked. Definitely. I'm cool. Don't worry. I did. They'll buy it now.
Of course. Retail tycoon Lexley Wessner, billionaire hedge funder Glenn Dubin, former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, former Maine Senator George Mitchell, and then this former Epstein employee, Claire Hazel, who worked there in the 90s and was sort of an early version of Ghislaine Maxwell.
Well, yeah, because then she aged out.
Yeah, because...
That's how it always goes. And she didn't give him what she wanted.
Exactly.
And Ghislaine she loved Epstein and wanted to be a part of his life. But as one of her socialite friends called him, was just a Goomba from Queens.
Oh.
Is what she called him in another documentary I saw, that he could never fully fit into her life. But she loved his sort of like, because he was a real Billy Joel to her Christie Brinkley.
Ooh, very nice reference.
At the time. Like,
yeah.
She was an uptown girl. And he was a downtown guy, right? And so she thought that the two of them together would be perfect, but he was just using her. And this is, we're going to see how far her love for her went. But man, you think about all of these like high profile people in tech, politics, all having these crazy Club Silencio, Eyes Wide Shut party. You know,
horrified.
They're harvesting children for adrenochrome because apparently it can make you jump higher, but it also actually really helps with your cholesterol. But then I think about the poor rubes that have been covering up UFOs for so long, and they're never invited to the fuck party. You know, they're never invited.
Not.
You got the other guys, you know, like Stanton Friedman was never put on the Lolita Express.
R.I.P.
Because his whole time is, you know, he just sits there being like, I hope that you all have club soda. Like, they're not jumping into the mix.
No.
I feel bad for my clandestine UFO pseudo majestic 12 group that never got to get free hors d'oeuvres or hang out with Kevin Spacey in Buckingham Palace,
oh,
getting to sit
God.
On the throne. They all got to just hang out in the throne room. It's like Prince Andrew allowed them all to just use that picture of Kevin Spacey and her laughing, sitting on the royal throne of England. And you're like, man, no one asked a single member of Majestic 12 over there.
That photo, dude, what is it? Like, the amount of evil in that smile was,
it was
Dick Cheney-esque. It was just, we're doing it. We're pulling it off.
The heads thrown back, both with their cigars, not a care in the world. Because guess what? Ghislaine and Epstein, they were on little girl duty. But who's doing little boy duty?
That's where Spacey comes in. According to Christina Oxenberg, Brian Singer, my God, that story is coming out. I got to Los Angeles just in time.
Right on time.
Christina Oxenberg, she's a former friend of Maxwell and Epstein, said that now I want to call her Ghislaine too. That Ghislaine, we used to boast about getting underage girls for the multimillionaire. This is what she said. She said, regarding Prince Andrew, she says he is one of many Johns, all of whom were videotaped by Ghislaine. And she goes on to say, he is not a victim here, but Ghislaine was never his friend. She was taping him. Friends don't tape friends. This whole thing, going back to what Henry was talking about, this whole thing was a power play by Epstein to make sure he continued his success in whatever business he was working in. Because again, he never had a job.
I think that his... To be completely frank, his true job by the end of his life was just being chief conductor on the Molest Express.
He
was not even I don't know what his job was. That's what they keep saying. Like, stop saying a financier. It means nothing.
Right.
He's a pedophile that also, he just might have been a CIA asset. He might
Could
have
be.
Had some connections to the Mossad. He might have said all that shit just to be, quote unquote, more mysterious, because there's nothing less mysterious than a 55-year-old man having sex with a 14-year-old. Like, there's nothing chic or cool about it, Kissel. You see how I said that and how I made sure to say that. But the one thing I'm really concerned, Kissel, is that we tape our friends all the time.
Doing sketch that nobody watches. We tape but our
some
friends.
Some people do.
We tape our friends doing something that nobody cares about. It's called comedy. If they were having sex with children, then yes, it would go viral. But we don't have
that
ability.
But I'd also say, Kissel, if you happen to find yourself filming a friend having sex with a child, I'd like you to just take a moment, put the camera down, and address the situation.
I would beat
you
up the friend. Don't even worry about it, Henry. I'd beat up the friend. You know what? And then they're not going to be in the next sketch. We're going to write them out of the funny
We're
sketch.
We're going to write them out.
There's too many hamburgers. Who's going to eat all these hamburger sketch?
And that's how they learn their lesson.
But he's not going to eat all the hamburgers now.
That's how they learn their lesson, is they don't get cast again. And we say, hey, now from now on, in order to retroact this, you have to have sex with one 75-year-old.
You have to even it out. You have to have an average. So according to Oxenberg, this is what she told the paper. Again, she's talking to The Sun, because this story is made for The Sun. It's made for the New York Post. This is
tabloid gold. Oh, they love it. They're scrambling all over it. Because she's already leaking tidbits out. She's already starting her side game to get, because this is about attention for her. Ghislaine has not been paid attention to enough, Kissel.
Aww.
This is now finally she gets her moment. She's always been behind Epstein. This is huge for her. She gets to be a fucking girl boss.
And to that point, Maxwell's lawyer is the former lawyer who helped catch El Chapo. This is a very powerful man that's also worked with the government, obviously. Oxenberg says, I think she thinks she can get out. Obviously, she's planning on trading information, which is why she has all the tapes. And this story,
I hope so,
is not even close to over. And as far as I'm concerned, every single person involved that had sex with a minor on camera or not on camera, but let's just say on camera so we have definitive proof. Let's just, you know what? Maybe it's time for you to go to a real jail, not free speech jail.
That's you with the soup can. I want you to go into jail, and I want you to experience what happens to pedophiles in jail. Now, I will see. It's interesting because there's many now that we're just at the, again, what Kissel just said, the very beginning of the story. I'm certain that there was nothing untoward about William Barr trying to possibly fire the head prosecutor that was working on this case for the entire time. I'm not certain that there's nothing in there about how his father hired Epstein to his first jobs, or and about how all the sci-fi novels that his father wrote that all featured like heavy pedophilic themes, or I'm certain it's got nothing to do with any of this.
No, absolutely not. That story is completely crazy. William Barr firing the prosecutor in the Southern District, replacing him with somebody else. That person obviously went on to arrest Ghislaine Maxwell, but that whole thing is just...
The way it worked out was that they tried to get the original head of the SCNY to resign. So
right.
They could replace them with one of their goons. But then he said, no, you got to fire me, which then automatically kicks in. Then you have to hire my deputy to replace me as an interim attorney or interim prosecutor. So they got to keep it. But it just sounds like they just colossally fucked up, and that our maybe it comes down to one of the gifts of the Trump presidency is that they're going to be too incompetent to keep the Illuminati going.
Maybe. I mean, the strange thing is, all of these people know each other. It would like if it's like if LPN had its own court system, and we found out Jackie did steal the last burger at Thanksgiving, and it's like we do Thanksgiving burgers.
Whipped.
That's what we do.
She gets whipped.
You get. I mean, but if she did it, so I mean, but that would be tough for me as judge to convict her because I know her. But at the same time, if the evidence proves, and of course we would have to go through her stool and things like that to figure out how many burgers she ate.
I'm a prosecutor. You look at her teeth. You look at her teeth for meat shreds. You test her lips. For ketchup stuff, I'm pretty certain that I could spray her with something where if you put a blue light over her to see where the ketchup went, and I'll say that it's a ketchup.
Honestly,
detective.
Dude, you do not want to do that because you'd be like, Jackie, how is that on your... Jackie, what is going on with you and your husband
or
fiance or boyfriend?
Why
I don't know what
they
are
this?
Anymore. But they're in love, and that's all that matters. I don't want to know where the ketchup is found on Jackie's body. That's all I'm saying. Ghislaine Maxwell, just lastly, she is placed in 14-day COVID isolation. A lot of people have been like, she's got COVID. It's the beginning of the end. I don't think she has it. I think they're just doing a precautionary 14-day isolation. They show pictures of her jail cell. It is just a standard jail cell. And, yep, that is going to be shocking. On a different, slightly different note that I'm going to talk about a little bit more on top app. We're going to get prison reform as soon as all of these rich people start going. That's when we're that's when people be like, it's really bad in here. It's like, yeah, we've been telling you that for 75 years. It's bad in here. And then we're actually going to see reform. But
Kissel, how much money do you want to put on if she makes it to trial?
Oh, my God.
How much money do you want to put
down?
Well,
this assumes that she doesn't just plea out. Do you think there's even going to be a trial?
What I am imagining is if she will plea, not go to jail, and she will flip.
Oh, I think she's got to
we'll
do some time, though. You don't think she's going to do any time? I feel like they have
I
to give her something.
I think that she'll say yes to, like, perjury or whatever, but she's still kind of locked under whatever that plea bargain, that crazy plea bargain that Epstein did with Alex Acosta back in the day. She's still kind of locked into that, whatever that time period covers.
Well,
so
I think
who knows?
I think that was a state, Alex Acosta, of course, who now has a bigger job in government because that's what you do when you protect pedophiles. That was a state thing in Florida, so I don't know if that will supersede the federal. I would think that she's probably, I don't know. I think that she's, I feel like she has to get some, just a few minutes behind bars.
I'd like to see that, but I this one could make it. It just depends if they put her in the MCC or not.
She could, I don't think, if she dies, honestly, if she dies, then it's just, then we would have to fully, then I would just put, I wouldn't even put a tinfoil hat on. I would wear a full tinfoil suit.
I would literally have a tinfoil briefcase.
Yes.
I'd eat tinfoil for three meals a day for like 6 months.
Yeah.
I'd say till Christmas, we could go back there and be like, okay, I'm back to normal.
I can't even imagine the shits from the tinfoil diet that Henry Zebrowski is on. But
yes, Sputniks.
She better, if she doesn't live, that is, whew, that's whole... Another can of worms.
A lot of bullshit.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You bet your dog. You're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers. My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love them. They love what BarkBox brings, because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Every day, I fight to set my child up for success, which is why, as I sit and read Carmi and Wendy Dune, trying to explain to them the concepts of the savior complex not working, doubling back on itself, the concept of what does it mean to be a living God? What are those limitations? What are those expectations? And honestly, I know they just want chicken. But there are kids out there that need this type of direct help. And IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them understand and master topics in a fun way. Not unlike me, reading children, Dune Messiah, getting to about 365, seeing where they're at. See if they understand anything. There's no more grading these worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. You can't even believe it! You don't want to make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Last Podcast on the Left listeners could get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/left. Visit IXL.com/left to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Let's move on to some more traditional crime here in America. I know, Henry, you've got a crazy story about a man who really was not happy with his 92-year-old dad because...
There's a lot of problems with old people right now. Yes, they're the most vulnerable to COVID-19, but they're also most vulnerable to the curse of the vampire.
Oh.
This comes from Local 21 News, Associated Press. This is Hemphill, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania man beats 92-year-old father to death, thought he was a vampire.
What?
I've been there. My grandmother was an awful woman, and she made it to 93. And there's a couple of times I just like I think about just going over there while she's asleep and just with the steak, just sitting there. What, do I get her now? Do I get her now? Do I become Van Helsing now?
Yeah, but the thing is, Henry, how long can people live? You know, if you don't like your grandmother at 75, you have a maximum of 25 more years. But an average, you got about another 8 years with her. You can wait it out.
Spite is the strongest force that ever lived.
That's true.
A man who says he fatally beat his 92-year-old father in their home because he believed his father was a vampire has been sentenced to 20 to 30 years in prison. I think that's good. Oh, he said that I'm guilty, but I'm mentally ill.
Well, I think that he is. If he believes his dad's a vampire, I think he might have a point there.
Yes. He said he beat him. He beat him to death with the wooden arm of a dining room chair, which is the most country cabin way to beat a man to death. He said he was off his medication. That's what the lawyer said. But prosecution told police that he beat his father because the older man was hiding his phone. Which, to be honest, if you're a vampire, you might have a lot of incriminating evidence on your phone.
Well, for example, all the pictures you don't show up in. See, if you're a vampire hanging out with Ghislaine, you're not in the photos, but you can still do whatever you want.
Empty selfies.
That's insane.
All of these empty selfies, and he just knew that he had to, this was his time, he had to get Nosferatu.
He did. So the dude's name is Douglas Novak. He was also charged with arson, reckless endangerment, and risking a catastrophe. Which I didn't realize that risking a catastrophe was a charge that you could have, but that is what they got him with. So, okay.
So does anybody who starts a podcast can just be charged with risking catastrophe? Like, how else? What does that mean? What do you mean risking catastrophe?
The prisons will be more overfilled than ever.
I risk catastrophe every day.
Every
breath
we take.
It's called going to the supermarket during a fucking super flu.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, he killed the guy with the wooden arm of the dining room chair. The dude, the dad, the vampire, although he is now deceased. I don't think he was a vampire, so we can just say the father of this mentally disabled
He's not a vampire. Man. You have to stab one of those to death through the heart. No, you can't just beat him to death with a piece of wood.
No, he was found 2 days later. But, you know, to the guy's credit, just a little bit, Douglas, the guy who did the murder there, to his credit, he did do what was right if his dad was a vampire. He did take the stake and jam it through his heart. So if he was a vampire, like, at least the guy followed the rules, which I think means he's not mentally ill. He's just a really,
he did plan a successful attack on a vampire.
Could be.
Which, again, takes forethought, which takes a lot of ideas. And you have to sit there because, like, how often are you looking for capes?
Yep.
I mean, and in certain time periods, capes were more popular. You know what I mean? What year was this? 93. So he's, oh my God, I am so stupid. What? How long ago was that? Let me see when he was born to see if he could even possibly, fashion-wise, have a cape.
Oh my goodness.
He was born in 1927.
The dad was born in 1927, the Greatest Generation. There it is. If they were vampires, that would have definitely helped us fight the Nazis. Apparently the fire was started when candles were used as part of a vampire ritual. They burned the floor a bunch. So this guy really did have a whole thing going on.
There's a lot of planning.
Which makes me think.
And you know what? What makes you think?
Maybe he's not mentally ill. Maybe he really.
I feel like he might not be. I think it's got something to do with hiding the phone. God knows what was on the phone. Maybe they were playing Words with Friends and he wasn't making a move. Yeah.
That's why I stopped. Words with Friends. It is the Words with former friends, because your friends don't play it the same way that you play it. And you know you always have that one friend also who is super lonely, who is just constantly playing. And it's like, I'm not doing this.
Long. Just fucking, I have a life. I can't just sit here and think of words with you. Same thing with chess with friends. I love playing chess with friends. I did it for a while, but then people stopped showing up.
Yeah, because they have love to make with their wives.
Whatever, man. You make the. How long does it take to make love to your wife?
It depends what you're going for. If you're trying to be studded, I just watched The Big Lebowski because, of course, I moved to LA and I'm like, I got my. Although I went to Ralph's. You know what? I tried to get my Ralph's card, Henry. They were all out. They said because of high demand, we're not going to have any for a month.
Because of high demand?
I don't know. I have no idea what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I guess people are grocery store shopping more now because we used to do things like have fun.
We used to do
things like go to restaurants and go to bars and stuff and have other alternative ways of eating or go to a friend's house and eating.
Sure.
And now we have to cook every single morsel of food that we eat. I obviously get delivery.
Of course, you have to.
But it's expensive.
Well, all I know is my wallet is missing a Ralph's card, and I can't wait to get that damn thing. But watching The Big Lebowski, now I forget why I'm even talking about The Big Lebowski. I moved to L.A. You got to watch The Big Lebowski.
Oh, about me being studded.
You being studded, just like Big Lebowski was studded when she was doing her little exercise.
Oh, yeah, she folds up the legs.
Yeah, so if you're being studded, that's going to take a little bit longer. Anyway, way too long for you to have time to play chess with friends because you're playing chess with life. Which I think is much scarier.
if my wife needs to practice me studying out and doing all this type of thing, that's what we do. I take my time. But it's between all of the fueling up sessions where I drink water. I got my Semen X finally arrived in the mail.
Get that?
The guys, I didn't order it. I'm saying this. I'm straight up saying this. We mentioned CMNX on, I believe, a Relax Fit episode that Marcus was, he was into it. He was researching it for some reason. And they thought it was fun, and they just sent me a whole bunch of all of these jars of CMNX.
Have you taken it yet?
I don't know what it's going to do to my loads. I'm not trying to make my loads bigger. It's never been requested of my love. My beautiful wife never want me to have, didn't want me to have juicier ropes. Uh-huh. But it does have all of these like numbing wipes.
Yeah.
That you could put on your penis.
But doesn't that numb the vagina then also? If it's numbing
your
penis?
I don't know what the hell it does. But also like, I'm not 19 years old anymore. You know what I mean? I need sensation.
Yes, you do.
I can't just make it an icicle. It can't be just a phantom limb that I'm stabbing out like I'm a dowsing rod looking for water. It doesn't work like that anymore. I need to feel passion. It needs to be in the moment.
Oh, indeed. Everyone loves to hear about your passion.
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey! Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands
in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And fast-growing trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Well, one thing that Henry and I don't have a passion for is running. Not because of the exercise component, because you might find a severed head. That's what happened to this chick in Florida. She was
St. Pete.
She was running in St. Petersburg, the home of O.J. Simpson, by the way. a woman running in...
Yeah, where was he? I don't know. What kind of head was this?
Let's see here. So a woman was running. She found a decomposing head on the side of the street. She called homicide detectives. They rolled over. According to the St. Petersburg Police Public Information Officer Yolanda Fernandez, who I love this woman. I just love the name Yolanda Fernandez because she is one that you want to talk to after a hard week of work and just be like, Yolanda, what happened this week? And then you just sit there and you drink your beer with her and you just listen to every single story she has to say.
I want to hear about Yolanda's day.
Every day. So she says, we are asking the public if they saw anything suspicious to let us know. We've had a few tips come in and we're tracking them
down.
What,
like a guy walking around with no fucking head? Like a guy with one too many hats now? That's what's suspicious? Well, my question is the head wearing a mask?
Well, it's not.
Because if the head wasn't wearing a mask, they should give the head's fucking dead, the dead head's family a fucking ticket.
They should. You gotta wear a mask even if you're being beheaded by potentially O.J. Simpson.
Or cartels. I'm gonna put some cartels out there. Pete's not really a cartel sound. It's more of a... like an art community, beachy vibe.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you got married there. It was gorgeous. I got you the book. What book did I get you again? Something about...
It was on the Order of the Golden Dawn. I have a whole thing. Yeah, I'm very excited to tuck into
it. They have very, like... I loved St. Petersburg, truly. If you want a little vacation advice from Ben and Henry, check it out. It's beautiful. It's a witchy little town. We had a great time.
It's a vacation from your problems. You go down there, you don't care. Eat some conch.
Yep. And hang.
Get yourself some Maduros.
Absolutely. So police believe the incident occurred in the last 48 hours because the jogger told them she ran in the same area that Sunday. Saw nothing unusual. The head was spotted.
Yeah, saw no head.
Saw no
head. Now she's going to spend the rest of her life, she's going to be looking for a decapitated head.
Yeah.
Everywhere she goes. Because you know what the lesson she's learning here? Gets you in the paper.
It does get you in the paper. If you jog on a daily basis, you need to have like a thing on your calendar and you need to exit off every time you don't see a head because you know it's got to be coming at some point. Like the odds are in your favor more and more every day.
You're owed a head.
You are at least one. So the head was spotted in a grassy area under an overpass around 7 o'clock in the morning. This woman runs very early. That's insane. Good for her. That's more shocking than the head is the fact that this chick just runs at 7 in the morning every day.
It turns out she's getting ahead of her health.
Yes, she is. There's no active crime scene right now. They're looking for anything that could identify this person. They don't.
What about the face?
The face is kind of messed up, bro. It's like St. Petersburg's.
They don't show a picture of the head.
They didn't show a picture of the head. They don't know the deceased person's age or gender. That's how messed up the head is. So if you're in St. Petersburg and you know
that's
like a friend lost a head. Maybe reach out to the police and just be like, that's Tom.
I'm going to go around and start saying, hey, if you don't got eyes and ears and a mouth and a nose, it's just kind of a lump.
Sums up.
But how do you find it? I mean, like, man, there's no face.
I think 48 hours in the St. Petersburg sun takes it out of you pretty fast, man. I mean, it makes it disgusting because you think Ted Bundy killed all of so many people in Florida and then he would go back and have sex with their corpses 2 weeks later. Just the slush pond of human flesh that he was procreating in or attempted
He was really casual about it. Yeah.
So
he was
nasty.
Really easy peasy about it. And this might actually be like inappropriate to say, but maybe this is like a good way to do like people are in their homes quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These days, you put the head on top of the police car and you just kind of drive around asking people, like, you seen his head before?
You seen this head? Yeah.
Was it on a guy?
You know this guy? Yeah.
You know this guy? Because I know, like, 2 days ago, this head was on a body.
It was on a body. And that brings up the bigger question, where's the body? You got to find the body here at some point, I would think.
That's like a big missing part of the puzzle.
It's much bigger than the head.
Because the body could have something like a wallet.
Could have.
That has a driver's license in it.
It could have the Target uniform that they were working. So, oh, you know they work at Target and they're trying to get things done for customers.
Do they check the head for anything in its mouth? Because then they have something like Silence of the Lambs, right? Where the serial killer put his little gnome, the boom. I don't even know what you'd call that. He put the thing,
yeah,
the moth, in the throat. But they also, mafia style, what they'll do is they cut your dick and balls off.
Yep.
And they put it in your mouth when they kill you if you're a snitch.
That's right. It's very WW2. It's pretty brutal. And the sad thing is, it's just, you know, they laugh. They have to laugh because it's like.
We all have to laugh.
What are you going
to
do? You have your dick and your balls in your mouth and your head is covered. It's severed off of your body. And then they're just laughing at you. And if you're just like, could have done without that, sir. But of course, you can't say anything because you're dead.
Oh, did you hear the story about this? Is a real quick story, but it's not remotely developed yet. So I'm just going to just do the quick bits of it.
All right.
The Dutch police basically were doing this massive drug sting. And they started going through all of these places. Like, they started basically arresting hundreds of people. They could do that. I don't know if they work faster or what they do in Europe.
Right.
But they started arresting these people, and they busted up this place. I believe it was called EP1. They kept referring to in text, which I guess it's like their version of like a hardcore prison or like a supermax prison.
Oh, okay.
Which essentially, they found this 6-room subterranean makeshift prison that was soundproofed. It was a torture chamber complete with a dentist chair, tools, including pliers and scalpels and handcuffs.
What?
They found this shit. It's literally the movie Hostel.
It's just like it. It's in the prison?
They found this makeshift torture prison that I guess was going to be used by this criminal network.
Oh.
Where they not only got this, they found 100 suspects, the seizure of more than 8,000 kilograms, that's 17,600 pounds of cocaine, 2,600 pounds of crystal meth, as well as this like weird, like 19 different synthetic drug labs that they had.
Damn.
But they called it it wasn't the EB1, it was an EBI.
Okay.
They called it a treatment room. They had to blast open the door, and it was just this series of these soundproofed units.
Oh, my God.
And they had they basically had a group of people that they believed that were told within series of messages between other criminals that it was a list of people that were supposed to end up in that room.
Oh.
And the cops went and warned them. And they all just left town.
Yeah, you got to get out of town. That is like, you got to quickly, dust should be spraying from your heels.
Yeah,
you are
gone. It should definitely be you through the wall, the end of nothing but trouble. Like, ooh, you should definitely Tasmanian devil your way through a wall.
Yes.
To get away from this torture room.
Oh, my God. Well, hopefully we can follow up on that story. And we're already getting dang near to Hero of the Week here. The last story that I got was about this dude named Dylan Wonder. He's 27 years old. He got real pissed off at his neighbor because his neighbor, he threatened his neighbor, and then his neighbor like got on the phone, and then Dylan Wonder was like, "You're calling the police," and his neighbor's like, "I'm not calling the police." Dylan thought he was calling the police. He went upstairs, got an axe, swung at him twice, missed both times. Then the next day, the neighbor who was swung at is in the shower. Dylan rolls up in a Jabberwockies mask from America's Got Talent.
That's the dance group, and they also do a fun little version of their, like a spooky version of their dance at Universal Studios for Halloween Horror Nights.
And this is the spookiest of all the versions. So he breaks into his neighbor's house while he's in the shower with a crossbow and wearing this Jabberwockies mask, takes him downstairs, robs him, and then the neighbor called the police and the guy was arrested. I'm just saying, know your neighbors, know who's crazy, know who's not crazy, and the guy's looking at 10 to 12 years.
I've been going around the neighborhood. I've been looking in people's homes just to make sure their homes are safe. I eyeball people. I say hello to everyone.
Good.
I say hello to everyone, and if they don't say hello back, I say, hey, say hello to me, so that they know that they, but then when they finally say hello, whatever level of upset they are at, and then go, thank you.
Right.
So they know I got an eye out on this neighborhood.
You're the friendly neighbor who demands that they say hello to them all the time. And
acknowledge me.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. They have to.
I love it.
They have to. I'm sheriff.
Well, you're actually relatively new to your neighborhood. I don't know if you should just go and say that, like, I'm the sheriff now, because maybe there's an actual sheriff that lives on your street. There could be a cop on your street.
I mean, I haven't seen one. And because they have to tell you if they are. If you ask anybody in the street,
that's true, actually.
They have to tell you you're a cop. That's right. And you have to tell cops. I mean, I tell cops that all the time.
Man.
You got to tell me that you're a cop. And they're like, well, I have a cop car.
I just watched.
Like, yeah, rapist. Try to hit me with your cop car. Try to get me in there. You're trying to seduce me.
I just watched that episode of South Park where the cops go undercover to do a prostitution sting. And then the cop, just blows the dudes and gets fucked really hard. And then at the end, after he fucks them super hard and they come a bunch, then he's like, and the roses are blue, and then they're like, all right, I guess we have to go in now, arrest him. Well, like, he finishes the job. Yeah. And I do love that idea of a cop just sucking his way through the whole thing, just be like,
gotcha, you just purchased a prostitute.
Sergeant Thompson, you know you don't have to, like, finish him off, right? You just got to get the money, and then that whole thing is like, it's done. That's the sting.
I think I know how to be a fake gay cop. You start acting like a real gay cop.
Oh, man. South Park holds up. All right, let's do Hero of the Week. This week's Hero of the Week is Rubble. Rubble's a fluffy Maine Coon cat. Considered the oldest feline in the world, would have turned 31 last May. It's dead now.
Sad.
Rubble.
This is great. I'm glad that this is Hero of the Week. It died. Man, 31 years old. Fucking, what does it do? It's just piss dust? What could come out of this cat?
I have no idea. Owner Michelle Heredith got Rubble as a kitten on her 20th birthday, and the pair have been inseparable ever since. Now 52 years old from Exeter, she put Rubble's long life down to the fact that she never had children. So Michelle heavily pampered her four-legged friend instead. Michelle said, I have always treated him like a child. I don't have any children. And had another cat called Meg, who passed away at age 25. So actually, damn. I'm going to say Michelle Heritage is really the Hero of the Week, because if you're going to be a cat mom, you got to be the greatest of all time. And she is the best cat mom ever, with a combined age of, I believe that makes, what is that, 66 years old total with two cats at 31.
56.
56.
56. That's a lot of cat. That's a lot of cat years.
It's a lot of cat years. So I'm going to say Rubble, your Hero of the Week, and your mom, Michelle Heritage, also Hero of the Week, for being the greatest cat mom in the history of cat moms. And, you know, I'm a dog guy. Sometimes cat ladies get made fun of as, like, lonely. Oh, they don't have children. But look at what this woman did. She didn't even, like, usually they kind of kill the cats by making them all fat, like they would do if they had children. But
they do.
In this case, she kept the cats healthy, and they live for till 31 and 25 years of age. So look at that, Michelle.
And
Heritage.
They say this to anybody who tries to make us have kids.
Absolutely. Well, of course they start feeding them young. You can see it.
So. They try, but they take your. I know why people have kids. It does seem nice, but they also see. They take your life force.
Yeah.
Purposefully.
That is literally what they scientifically do, is take your life force. Parts of you are now in your child, and then, well, don't, that's not, we're not talking about Ghislaine Maxwell again.
I don't want genetically to be inside of my children.
No, but you are your children. It's kind of a mind fuck, isn't it?
I am my children.
It's a mind fuck.
And I keep telling them, that's the one thing I would do if I did have kids, constantly being like, you know you're me, right? You know that you're me? I came first.
Yeah, but if you had a...
You're my cum.
You think your daughter,
would like to hear that she's you?
And now you're not your beautiful wife?
My daughter, I would have the wife. The wife speaks to the daughter, and then the father speaks to the son, and then sometimes you switch them all together.
It's very, very conservative Catholic of you.
Yes, it's true. All right, here we go. Here's some listener letters. There's been so much kind of penis talk, but this was just like a fun little version of
sure,
it.
Sure.
This is in response to the leech and the penis story.
Oh, my goodness.
My stepdad was in the Vietnam War.
Oof.
He told us that even though the U.S. government denied it all the time, U.S. forces were in Cambodia. All right, well, that's breach of security, but thank you.
Well, that's very true, yes.
The leech and the penis was almost a rite of passage for new recruits. The leech would usually get in the penis while they were sleeping. that usually noticed something was wrong when they woke up for their morning pee. Yeah.
That would help, yeah.
They would, of course, freak out and go to the medic. The medic would tell them they would have to split the penis head in two ways and back and fold it like a banana in order to get it out and save the penis. Of course, they would freak out, but agree to it because it was doctor's orders. They would make the man shut his eyes and they would reach out. They would rip out the leech with tweezers. This was, of course, embarrassing to the recruit, but a source of laughter for the rest of the men. Humor was different back in the day.
Hold on a second. So they didn't actually cut the penis in half like it was a log. That was a joke.
It was a prank.
And so when they went to the... So they're in Vietnam.
The worst of the wars.
They go to the doctor, and then the doctor is like Henny Youngman. Just a Henny Youngman MD. Got a funny little bit for you. Could have done without that.
Henny Youngman's a classic comedian. This is Dax Shepard territory. This is like, you got punked.
Well.
So it's not the same.
Dax has some good bits.
Dax apparently is very nice, according to Craig Rowan, who writes for, I guess, I think it's called Bless This Mess. I'm going to get one. I'm going to get Bless This Mess as a tramp stamp one day.
That is a disgusting thing to have as a tramp stamp.
Yep, I'm just going to get clean up on aisle brown.
Oh, my.
During the seventh grade, I moved to a large old house in the middle of Terra Sierra, Florida, a little area that hardly anybody knows that exists. Even though Skyway Bridge, an extremely large and famous Florida icon, which is true, I know Skyway Bridge, connects directly to it. Oh. I remember when we toured the house, the previous owners made reference to the house knowing things. I shit you not, they claimed the house would decide if it liked how a person decorated the place. I honestly thought that they were just messing with me because I mentioned I like horror. The first night there, I'm playing on my mom's computer and noticed it was getting light, so I turned it off. I get up to go to the bed and turn it on, and I noticed five red, ghoulish faces in the window. They looked almost like the ghost face mask from Scream. I freaked out, covered my eyes, and ran away. Brave, I know.
Yeah.
And in a few minutes, I convinced myself it was probably nothing and head upstairs. I wake up the next morning and noticed a hooded figure sitting on the edge of my bed, casting a calming presence, all of a sudden just disappearing into what looked like a black hole. Like, whoop.
Whoop.
Strange events kept happening for the remainder of our time in the house. Another time, I heard what sounded like three women talking right outside of my door, and the only words I could make out were, "Disturb the guests." I even heard what sounded like a party and swing music similar to that scene in The Shining.
Cool.
This is the only event that ever sticks with me was the scarf incident. I woke up one night and felt like what I thought was a sensation similar to fabrics of an old scarf around my neck. I could even feel sequins and small holes, but that's when I realized someone was choking me. I tried to get up, but I was being pulled back down by some force. I tried to grab at the scarf, but my finger only touched my bare skin upon meeting my neck. I managed to get up and try to get towards the door to attempt to get help. Another unseen force from behind me knocks me to the ground, and then in that moment, it was gone.
Hmm.
This is very interesting.
Yeah.
I could breathe again. The skin around my neck, I didn't feel any fabric or scarves. I got up, dusted myself off, got the hell out of my room, and slept on the couch. Not all of the encounters were unpleasant, though. They were just kind of shadow figures, all the things moving around. I started to do research on the island that we were living on, and it found a literal Native American burial ground was located within walking distance from our house.
See, this is the thing. Why wouldn't they tell you? That should make the price of the property go up. If I'm a real estate agent, I drop that lingo, I drop that sentence down, and then say it's worth 10 grand more because there's an ancient Indian burial ground right by it.
Back in the day, there was a shipping boat. It rammed into the bridge it used to be here, and there used to be a story there called the Feral Children Story. There's a group of feral children that actually were released all over this island. This is according to the BradentonTimes.com. This is from 2011. Oh my God, this article came out September 25th, 2011?
Huh.
Jesus Christ, we were just thinking about this? Oh no, never mind.
Did you forget? Did you literally forget September 11th was on 2001?
Yes, I did. Yeah, just my brain. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll never forget!
You forgot by a decade.
Hey man, what are you going to do? You know what? It was old news. It's old news. Now, according to the local legend, we had to catch the Guerrero children in a cast net. This was back in the day. Tierra Sarah, this is famished and in a state of confusion. Children were roaming around the Tierra Sierra wilderness, completely disillusioned. What? Mumbles of an indiscernible language confused their captor, who wanted nothing more than to help the lost youths. But there were many questions unbeknownst to the rescuer. Where were the children stricken with yellow fever? Were the children stricken with yellow fever? Or do they speak English? And how long do their mother's corpse been rotting in the house?
Whoa!
This is like a fucked up story that you should check a look. Honestly, you should look at the story about the feral children of Tierra Sierra. Apparently, they'd been left behind there.
Jeez.
See,
Home Alone, that's why...
Weird part of town.
If John Hughes wrote that story, it would just be Home Alone, like part 8, where it's a series of kids that are left alone and then turned into ghosts. But it doesn't sound quite as cute as he would make it.
It's never cute. Then yellow fever tore, that killed the mother. They were all just out there, man. These kids just out there. And kids... Because kids are resourceful up to a point.
Yeah, they're resilient.
But we shouldn't
We've all
think
seen
that
it.
They can just raise themselves.
Yeah, well, in some ways, they just become adults, so they do kind of raise themselves.
Well, yeah, their bodies become adults eventually through time.
Yeah, naturally, or corpses. All right, any other stories this week? Any other letters? Again, you can always email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Please share us your spooky tales.
I just wanted to tell you this story because it's the way this man... referred to the story, the way the man responds in the story, I like know this guy.
Okay.
This story is from my dad. He's a firefighter of 20 plus years, and I thought you could use him as a good cautionary tale. The sun was just coming up when a call for the engine and medic came for a possible DOA. Mm. When they got to the scene, cruisers were parked on a bridge with the officers looking over the side. I walked up to an officer who said, "The body's right there." I looked over and about 10 to 15 feet down to it in the shallow creek, I saw a large, pale shape downstream.
Right.
And started thinking, how are we going to go and get them? And all of a sudden, we heard faintly, "Body, I think I'm still alive."
What?
I climbed down the side of the bridge and waded to the patient who was lying on their belly, naked, and trying to look over the shoulder at me. I asked if they were hurt, and they tell me, "I can't move my left leg." It looks like they landed on it when they fell. My crew brought down a backboard and some blankets since the person was very hypothermic, which would have taken long in the water. Once we got them in the back of the medic, had got most of the treatment done, and once they were relatively stable, I started asking how they came to be butt naked at the bottom of a creek.
Right.
They told me that they were hosting a party at their home and felt that things had just kind of gotten out of hand. I asked if they had consumed any drugs or alcohol, how much and how long ago. They paused and replied, "Wine," and looked down at their chest. I asked them if they were okay, told them it was just something I just needed to know. I just needed how to take care of them. They said, "Maybe a bottle or two. I mean, to be honest, I can't be sure since it was given anally." I sat back and I just said, "What?" They said everyone at the party was giving each other wine enemas and that it was just about, that was just about all that they remembered of the night. Supposedly it was faster and better absorption than drinking it.
Well,
the side effects based on their experience are ended up butt naked in the bottom of our creek with a broken leg, not knowing how you fucking got there.
We
took the patient to the ER.
How much faster do you need it? Just drink it through your mouth. You will get drunk. I promise you, you can get drunk orally. You don't have to do it anally.
Just honestly, get drunk. You can end up in a creek.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a hell of a bash. I'm sure Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz were there having a great time with Prince Andrew. Ghislaine was the one pouring all the wine.
Looking through your phone and you just see all of these pictures of you and Ghislaine Maxwell
Kevin
and
Spacey.
Don Cheadle and fucking
don't
Bobby
bring
Flay.
Don Cheadle
I don't know
into
who
this.
Else is there.
Don't bring Bobby either. My goodness.
If there was one, I'd put him there.
All right. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. Hope you're doing well out there, staying safe, and getting through time. We're doing time. If you want a fun YouTube channel, Larry Lawton is a hoot on YouTube. He's a former jewel thief. I would love to interview him, actually. If you know anyone that knows him, this dude is a character.
To know him.
So check him out.
Dude. Look up. I've been watching the pilots.
Okay.
People to talk and describe sightings to a thing called NUFORC, which is the Natural UFO Reporting Center, 1977. It's called Part 2. There's hours of it. 7 hours of people calling in UFO sightings.
Cool.
And there's one of the CIA pilot describing seeing The only way he described, well, he said CIA pilot, he was another smokescreen, but him describing seeing this thing, he said the only way to describe it was that it was made out of asphalt. It was like an asphalt egg.
Weird.
That was following him around going 1900 miles per hour. What? And it's wild. There's too much. I just fucking love it.
No,
it's just
that's
anything,
crazy.
Anything but I love being home with my wife. This is honestly, this has been a cherished time being able to spend time with my family.
That's great.
But this is a helpful way to spend some of the more empty.
And obviously this is an audio medium, so you can't see. Natalie has a gun to Henry's head. It is a shotgun. It's a large shotgun. And you just passed the test.
Having a lovely time. It's fine. I can see the boobies. It's great.
There you go.
So live every day like you got a place where you can go see boobies of any type with their permission.
Sure.
Maybe it's some kind of magic mirror, some kind of porthole into a naughty submarine.
Well, they're saying glory holes are the way to go now as far as COVID goes, just to be a little safer.
Maybe we should start invest in glory hole stock.
I don't know if it's a public trade.
Do they trade publicly?
I don't think so.
I would like to see if we can get in there just holes
privately,
and holes.
As a matter of fact.
Because the thing about a glory hole is that, yeah, you could get your dick sucked through it, but also safely pass hot dogs and hamburgers through it.
You know what?
Any sort of food.
That is a great point, Henry. Great point.
It's like a little prison cell. So you got to love. If you add a bunch of extra O's to love, it becomes love,
yeah,
which is fun and more fun to say, especially if you're sad,
sure,
or you've been heartbroken.
Yeah.
You could say, I love eating Papa John's alone.
Yes.
And I know then you can stop with the emails. We know Papa John's got a TikTok. We're not on TikTok because we don't want to see children dance.
At some point, it's a net negative to be like more, I think we do enough because we're good.
And laugh with the ease of the lack of care, of no memories, just in a butt wine state.
Mm.
Because butt wine's the state of mind. It's New Margaritaville. Because that's all it is, man. You have a couple of butt wines.
Yep.
You're just fucking, whoo.
Pooteritaville.
Easy going, my friend.
Absolutely.
Butteritaville.
Butt chug some margaritas. Pooteritaville. It's a new company coming up right now.
I honestly would be really careful with butt chugging margaritas, especially if you do it with the straight up lime juice.
Yeah. Don't butt chug anything. Never butt chug. It started as like a joke, and then people started doing it seriously, and then just stopped doing don't butt chug. Just don't butt chug. It's the wrong hole.
I don't think it's a great idea.
It's a horrible idea.
But it gets you drunk.
Anything can get you. Can take a tub with tequila in it. Just take a full tequila tub. My That's God. Fun. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magoostalations, everyone.
Hail me.
And be careful when jogging out there. Just look straight at the road. Unless you want to see a severed head, then, you know, look to the left and the right.
But also, if you got things to do with your day, you can just cover it with a bunch of leaves or something so that you don't have to be part of that.
You'd be amazed, you know what I mean? How the sentence, I didn't see that. I did not see that. It can save you hours. It can save you hours of time.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.